Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of the Wild Ones podcast, a show where we chat about bike stuff. I'm Jimmy, and this week I'm back with Francis and producer Emily. How are you both doing, guys?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
Good.
I went out on my road bike this weekend for the first time in absolutely ages. This is the road bike that may or may not fit me. Past a very weird town sign, which was called Wallish Walls. And it got me thinking while I was putting the podcast together. I started procrastinating and Googling other weird town sign names, and I made a list. Do you want to hear my favourites? So near us, we have Pity Me.
Pity Me, yeah.
And Wide Open.
Pity Me is a weird one.
Pity Me is. I found out, though, apparently it comes from French, petit mer, like little sea. It's not near the sea, though, is it? But yeah, apparently that's what it is. Some rude ones. Sandy Balls, Hampshire, UK.
Very good.
Sandy Balls is like... Centre Parks. It's the same sort of thing.
What?
Yeah. Sandy Balls is like a park place where you go and do, like, stay in a cabin and do stuff.
And get Sandy Balls.
Yeah. We just gave them free advertising if they still exist.
Visit Sandy Balls this spring.
There's an advert that's like, Sandy Balls.
Other ones, Wet Wang in Yorkshire.
Wet Wang.
And so Middle Fart in Denmark.
Middle
Fart, yeah. Other notable ones, Bastardo in Italy.
I'm a big fan of that.
That's cool, yeah.
I used to call myself El Bastardo.
You could go live there.
Accident in Maryland, US. Wouldn't want to go there. Hygiene in Colorado, US. There's also a place in Arizona called Why. And then in North Carolina, there's a place called Why Not. And the last one is there was a cul-de-sac in Doncaster that was called Butthole Road, but it got renamed because residents were sick of people turning up to take pictures and mocking it.
And probably stealing the sign.
Yeah, potentially. So RIP, Butthole Road. Anyway, do you live near a weird road sign, town sign? If so, let us know in the comments or email us pictures at wildonespodcast@cavemedia.co.uk.
I've actually got a couple.
Go on.
Well, I cycled across Australia.
Yeah.
So a lot of the road names are weird there, or place names are weird there. Cocklebiddy, Widgiemooltha.
Nice.
I don't know if I'm saying that right. And I rode across Australia with Chris Hall. And this is semi-related. We went on a ride to Chris Hall.
What?
Well, I guess it's Chris Hall.
Oh, okay.
All right.
He was like, do you want to ride to Chris Hall? Chris, and you can ride there from London and back. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
From London?
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
All right, yeah. So wait, that one's not in Australia.
Wait,
no,
yeah.
That one's not in Australia. No, no.
I was trying to work out whether there was a London in Australia.
Nah, Chris Hall is in...
Right, got it.
Chris Hall's in England.
He could be the mayor of that
town. It wasn't worth riding to. except for the picture of the sign. Yeah.
Nice.
Now on to the news. Sparrow Fort. Fort,
will you?
Penny for a fucking guy.
Penny for your forts.
Penny for your forts, please, governor.
I feel like is it me? The podcast, when I'm away, I listen to the podcast. You have some great guests on. It's all very professional. As soon as I'm back, chaos.
It is chaos.
And it's not me, it's you.
No,
it's me. You're just looking at me, so it makes you laugh.
It is always you causing problems forever and ever.
I feel like when we're together, there's a special type of chaos that goes on. Right, go on, Jimmy. Do your bit.
On to the news. Spare a thought for pro rider Lorena Wiebes, who lost out on first place at the Amstel Gold Race after celebrating a bit too early. Did you see the photo finish? It is heartbreaking. Yeah. I did see it, and it legitimately is, isn't it? So SD Works Pro Time rider Lorena looks over her right shoulder just meters from the line. She thinks she's clear, sits up and celebrates, not realizing that Visma Lisa bike rider Marianne Vos was closing in on her left side. Wiebes admitted after the race that she didn't see her coming, but she said it's a mistake you only make once in your career. It's made her hungry to win more. But we've got to hand it to Vos. She's an absolute monster of the sport, and that was her 251st career win. That number's so high, I couldn't even read it.
Yeah, no, poor Lorena. I saw an interview with her after the race, and she handled it well, because I would crawl into a hole with embarrassment. But I don't really understand the whole celebrating early thing generally. That would be in the back of my mind constantly.
Pro cyclists love an early celebration.
They do,
don't they?
Is it for the picture?
I think it. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bunch sprints.
Yeah.
And we only see this like once every few months, and it's that's so funny. Like, it's early celebration. It happens. And I think the response and self-reflection was fair.
It was fair, yeah.
Especially in a sprint like that, where it is a proper bunch sprint. You just have to not celebrate until you're definitely over the line. Cav does it all the time.
Yeah.
He's so confident. He must have like, his peripheral vision must be superhuman, because he's never, I'm pretty sure, never messed up. Yet he's always sitting up and celebrating. But maybe it's because he's Mark Cavendish, so he's always really far ahead. Like a sixth sense.
It must be a sixth sense. I watched some like a compilation of early celebration mistakes on YouTube, and there's ones where people have counted the laps wrong, and they think that, you know, obviously no one's sprinting forward because there's one lap remaining, and then some guy's sprinting up like, yeah, and there's one lap to go. It's just devastating. But as a spectator, it's good entertainment.
It's good entertainment. Yeah, it's part of cycling, isn't it?
Shouldn't laugh at other people's misfortunes, but it is good entertainment.
Meanwhile, Tom Pidcock won the men's race. He made a little joke in the post-race interview, which was doing the rounds on social media. Here's what he said.
I was going to say, it's great to win for the second time, but that might be create quite some controversy.
He is, of course, referring to the 2021 edition of the race, where he was involved in an incredibly close photo finish with Wout van Aert. Van Aert was crowned the winner after lots of umming and ahhing by the race officials, but further investigation by online sleuths, love that word, suggested the photo finish camera may have been focused on a spot just before the official race line. There are still people to this day that believe Tom really won, including Tom, by the looks of it.
Yeah, I saw the comments on this clip were very 50-50. Some people were like, yes, he definitely won, and some people say he just needs to let it go. I don't know, maybe it was just a bit of a joke. He stuttered a lot during that joke. I don't know whether that was the Amstel Gold that he drank at the end of the race or not.
Yeah, he was definitely wrecked, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I was flicking through Twitter looking at the photo finish of that race because I missed it completely. And it does look like he came second. But there's argument over where the line is and
yes,
stuff, isn't it? And
yes,
the line's really wide. When you're actually sprinting towards it, often it's like half a foot wide thing. So which bit? Yeah. Which bit are you going for? And kind of just lucky, isn't it? Like when it comes along. Some people have drawn before. I've seen that in a pro race.
Have you?
Yeah. Where it's indecipherable. You can't see who's won. And it's two riders. So they're just like, oh, well, it's a tie.
I think it's interesting that in that original race, there was some sort of uproar about the fact that the officials seemed to be looking at the picture just on their phones. There was loads of official gathering just zooming in on their phones, and people thought that wasn't very...
Well, it's definitely not.
...technical.
As you know from your Garmin Varia analysis recently, mm-hmm, on the computer screen, very clear. On a phone...
Not very clear.
Not very clear.
I was going to reference that, but I wasn't sure it was appropriate at this point. Shall I explain that?
Yeah, go on.
So, as I mentioned the other week, I've started using my Garmin Varia to record the camera stuff called my rides, and I decided to start submitting...
Sponsored by Garmin.
We are sponsored by Garmin, yes. I decided to start submitting my footage of dodgy driving to the police, thinking that they wouldn't do anything about it and it was just going to be a complete waste of time. So I was going from a 40 into a 30. I was then in the 30 and a car passed me, according to the Varia, at 72 miles an hour. at a safe distance.
How accurate is that thing?
I have no idea. No idea.
Probably pretty good.
So I submitted it from my phone, sent the file to my phone, was looking at it on my phone. I couldn't quite work out what the details were. And then I submitted it to the police. They phoned me literally the next day, which I was surprised at. And were like, oh yeah, can you resubmit it with a number plate on? It's like clear as day, you know, just to submit. And I was like, is it clear as day? He was like, yep, clear as day, just get it resubmitted. So then I sent it to my computer and yes, it was clear as day. So
but you couldn't see it on your phone?
But I couldn't see it on my phone.
But I think you've buried the lead here, Jimmy. You caught someone doing something like 75 in a 30. You submitting it, kind of thinking that the police weren't going to do anything about it. But mm-hmm. they rang you the next day and they basically said, we're going to prosecute this guy. We just need you to provide a statement with the...
Yep. They can't prosecute him for speeding because it's not calibrated.
Yeah.
But they can prosecute him for dangerous, reckless driving.
Someone
whatever it
driving
is.
Without due care and attention. But we were saying that you can probably you can tell he's driving fast because the time it takes, do we know it's a him, them, to drive between lampposts is very, very quick. So they can probably tell from that they were going fast. Mm-hmm. And although they gave you, this was an interesting point. They said, although they it looked like they probably gave you 1.5 meters distance.
Yep.
That is the recommended minimum distance at 30 miles an hour. And if you're going more than that, you need to give more room, which usually isn't possible. Which
or
means,
slow down.
Or slow down, exactly. Which I don't think that message is communicated at all.
No, it's not.
So it will be interesting to see what happens. But I think that it made you want to submit more, knowing that they actually got back to you.
Yeah, I assumed it was a complete waste of time. But that response has made me confident that it isn't a waste of time. And I want to become the new Cycling Mikey and become the Northeast answer to the most hated man in the world. Next up, the spectator who threw a cap at Matteo van der Poel's wheel during Paris-Roubaix insists she didn't do it on purpose.
What a d***.
However, a new video has just surfaced this week that shows the race from a different angle, and it's led people to question whether the woman is telling the truth. If you missed it, TV cameras caught the moment a cycling cap was thrown from the roadside towards van der Poel's bike. He was completely unharmed and thankfully didn't go down. He also went on to secure a solo victory in the race. However, the incident was spotted by outraged fans and the French Cyclist Union said that they are going to find the culprit and take action. A woman then came forward and it turned out she was a corporate guest at a VIP tent where various companies had invited clients. She very quickly lawyered up and put out a statement saying she took responsibility but insisted that there was never any intention to harm or sabotage the world champion. She even said that she is a fan of his. However, this new footage, which appears to have been taken by a spectator on the opposite side of the road, clearly shows her holding the cap by her side and then chucking it at van der Poel's direction just as he passes. So it's raised some fresh questions. At this stage, the Riders' Union investigation is still ongoing and we'll have to see what happens. I've looked at it and it is absolutely outrageous.
As if the second video is needed to confirm, because even in the first one, you can see she's like waiting and then throws it.
I feel like you can't see it as much. And I think that there was a question mark over whether you could just be kind of like, yay, and it flies out of your hand. But I think the second angle speculation, she denies it, but it seems to show she's literally holding it by her side and then flicks it out. At the wheel.
Like Spider-Man style.
Literally, yeah.
There is lots of reasons why you would want to affect the results of a race.
Exactly.
However, to play devil's advocate, if you wanted to cause a rider to stop being able to cycle anymore, a cycling cap is a bit of a weird way to do it.
I wonder, so we were talking about this and we were saying, you know, what are the more serious implications of stuff like this? And we were saying, cycling is one of the few sports where spectators actually can affect the outcome of the race. And you have to wonder about stuff like match fixing. And I mean, again, this is not necessarily related to this incident. We don't know yet what's happened or what her intentions were. And, you know, we might never know the real answer to that. However, if you wanted, theoretically, to place a bet, whether it's on Matthew van der Poel to go down or whatever it is, then... You can legitimately affect the outcome. Perhaps a cap is seen as a way, you know, if you literally just poke a stick in his wheel, it'd be pretty obvious what you're trying to do. Whereas maybe
you can claim,
you could claim,
like, oh, I was just excited to throw my caps around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is all speculation, but generally there needs to be a harsh crackdown on. So, and this also wasn't the only incident. There was people throwing beer at him. There was other stuff happening as well. And there's been people questioned by authorities.
He's had that a few
that.
Times. A lot of people really don't like him.
Yeah.
Especially, I guess it's in people who are like in the cyclocross races, massive Wout van Aert fans.
Yeah.
And then they'll like throw beer on Vanderpool.
I just think it's bad so interesting. People. There is a lot of money in this sport, and therefore there's a lot of money in the betting of this sport. Mm-hmm. And there's been massive match fixing scandals in other sports, and in other sports where it's usually directly on the competitors because that is the only way you can fix the matches. But this is, as I say, probably one of the only sports where spectators legitimately can affect the outcomes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
That was half the, when we used to do Belgian kermesses, am I going to get in trouble with the Belgian mafia here? we were told as young riders, like, just look, watch the selection. The more races you do, the more you work out who are the people that are getting in the break are. And then when the right people are in that break, the selection is made and the race basically gets shut down from riders blocking and not chasing anymore. So, it's all based on betting, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So there'll be people in there making sure the riders who are going to, you know, that were favourable bets were up in the breakaway. So you had to work out who those riders were and then like follow them if you wanted to get a result. It was all very...
That's so dodgy, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's interesting how many sports there's been like betting scandals in.
Lords.
And I'm not aware of any notable ones in cycling.
And this is the thing, you don't want to stop the atmosphere of a race. And the nature of races means you're going around the countryside and you can't have barriers up everywhere, but...
Is it... I want to say... This is... Okay, right, pure speculation here. And I might be recalling this wrong. This is another Van Rysel. I'm sure Patrick from Lantern Rouge is not allowed to bet on things because he's so good at predicting race... like results.
He might be banned from a bookies or two, but
okay,
they wouldn't be able to just blanket.
I think this is information that Lawrence has told me, so unreliable. However,
it sounds like a load of
it's a cool rumor though, isn't it? I wish I was so good at something someone would be like, yeah, no, he's banned from that, he can't do it because he's too good.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
why don't you ask him?
Yeah, well, yeah,
message him. You message him?
Yeah, I'll message him.
Message him now and say, is it true that you're banned from? And then we can provide the answer.
Rather than rely on Lawrence.
Okay, I'll message him.
And we will provide you with that answer when we have it. Also, did you see, shout out to Philippe, I believe his name was Philippe, who sent us this story. People have been stealing cobblestones from the Paris-Roubaix route. There is literally a massive hole in the ground where people have just stole the cobblestones.
Is it specific sections? Is it like Arenberg Forest?
It's something with Carrefour in the name.
Oh, Carrefour. That's the other really hard section. Yeah.
I would imagine it happens all the time, to be honest.
They're also, like, there's definitely parts of Flanders or Roubaix that have been paved over. And like the council just have made them smooth. Which ruins the race. No point in going down that road anymore, is there?
It's like Butthole Road. I'm sure that road sign has been stolen a million times.
Perhaps. I also feel like I should apologise to the listeners because there was at one point we said we weren't going to talk about pro racing. However, what I've come to realise is when the pro races are on, there is literally no other news other than this. So I'm doing my best to find the most interesting stories out.
I've got sucked into it.
Yeah,
I've been
we're all
skewed
watching it
by
now.
This, my own podcast. Now I'm watching pro racing. And enjoying it. Outrageous.
So we will in fact be covering some. We're not going to cover it in great analysis, but if there's any interesting highlights, then we got no choice. Until someone releases some other weird tech stuff, then this is what we shall be doing.
And on to some more pro cycling news. Finally, this must be the most triggering cycling jersey in existence. The rainbow jersey is causing controversy again. We had an email from a listener called Bogdan this week who said, I noticed an online cycling brand just started selling Mathieu van der Poel's World Cycling Champs kit. It's the rainbow jersey and all the accessories, and I made the mistake of opening the comments. 99% of them were saying stuff like, you are not worthy to wear this, or I cannot wait to see the middle-aged overweight guys wearing this whilst doing 15 kilometers per hour. And honestly, I don't get this.
I see it as a chance to support my favorite athlete, and if you are wearing this on a Sunday slow ride, what's the problem? I think this is only cycling specific, as I haven't heard any comments like this on fans wearing football jerseys. I actually put something out on my Instagram account when I saw that this had gone live, and I put a comment, I screenshotted it, put a comment saying something along the lines of, I'm going to buy this kit and see how many people it winds up.
You buy three sets so we can wear it next week.
I think, no, I'm going to commit to it. I am going to buy this jersey off once we finish this podcast, and I'm going to wear it.
Yeah, why not?
It is absolutely outrageous, the weird elitism that exists in cycling around stuff like yellow jerseys and the World Champs rainbow stripes. Like, what does it matter?
If anything, it's a nice celebration of the rider who has won it.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And it shows that you actually are into it, that you want to wear it. I have absolutely no problem with Pro Cycling Kit. Any of the Champs jerseys, if you want to wear them, wear them. And if someone gives you grief about it, send them to Jimmy.
Yeah, this is it. We have talked about this before, but it's annoying to see, and it's annoying to see it continue to happen.
Oh, it's just weird. It's just a comment section on the thing. Who comments that kind of stuff? You've got to be pretty weird to go, oh, I'm going to, like, oh, this is a thing I don't like. I'm going to spend some of my time writing a comment.
But I think this is what goes through some people's heads on group rides and that kind of thing. You see a new person turn up and they're not adhering to the rules in whatever way it is. And, you know, you might not say it to their face, but people, like, think it, and it's just odd and unhelpful.
People just care about stuff too much, don't they?
Yeah.
Got nothing else to worry about.
Do I qualify as middle-aged overweight guy yet? I'm going to claim that I
badge of honor.
I'm going to buy this jersey. We're going for a ride, and we're going to average 15 kilometers per hour for the entire ride.
Oh, the dream. And it can be from your house to backyard.
A coffee shop.
Coffee shop, yeah.
Put a camera on you and do like a candid camera of people's reactions, see if you get funny looks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Actually, let's just not even ride. Let's just turn up at various coffee shops with a bike. Actually, not even a bike, just in kit. I'll be wearing the rainbow jersey. And then see what happens.
Nice. I think it's important for us. You know, we are in some way, I don't want to say influencers. We have a voice.
We represent our community.
Yeah, we have a voice in this community. And I think it's important for us to take a stand and be like, stop being a dick. Wear what you want and stop giving a shit about what other people wear. Ride your bike. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Your thoughts off Instagram.
It's easy to get sucked into that kind of elitism, oh, though, isn't it? When you're a kid and you're in a cycling club and like you care about how long your socks are and if your legs are shaved and things like that. And then I get a bit older and I just don't give a fuck.
But you're allowed to care about those things. But what you're not allowed to do is belittle people because they don't do what you want to do.
That's what I mean.
Like, you are absolutely allowed.
But people do belittle others and they talk behind their backs.
Yeah.
And really, it's their own insecurities or
100%.
When I was doing it, like, you know, you have all your mates that you go riding with and you're like, oh, look at that person there wearing that thing. And it's because we were insecure young people. Mm-hmm. So that's where it stems from. So people like that and people in these comment sections, insecure people.
Here's a question for you, Francis.
I love questions.
I'm going to buy a rainbow jersey.
Yeah.
Are you going to wear it on a ride?
What are you buying? Both of us.
Well, no, so I'm going to buy one. We're going to go on two bike rides. One of the rides, I'm going to wear it. Are you willing to wear it?
And break my Atticus contract.
We'll just put a little Atticus badge on it or something.
Can you get me a custom printed one from Atticus?
You'd wear a rainbow jersey. Yeah. Or are you using the Atticus thing as a reason for not wearing
rainbow jersey? No, I'll be happy to wear a rainbow jersey, of course.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Time for another round of overrated or underrated. I'm going to read out a list of things and you're going to tell me if they are overrated or underrated. First up, black finishing kit and group set. So Cycling Weekly did an opinion piece this week about how they miss the days of classic silver components. So are black finishing kits and group sets overrated or underrated?
I haven't really thought about it in that way, but yes, overrated. I love silvery looking finishing kit. Have you ever seen like a nice, this is weird because they followed me on Instagram last week. I don't know who's running the social media for them. Thomson,
yep.
Spelt T-H-O-M-S-O-N, not with a P in the middle. Thomson make components. And they, like when I back when I used to work in a bike shop, I could never afford them. So I never ever bought them, but they do a seat post and a stem in like shiny silver. And it's just the coolest looking thing in the world ever. Unfortunately, none of the bikes that we have here fit that now. So,
I don't think that black finishing kits and group sets are overrated because they look fantastic.
Yeah.
I do still like the silver, the traditional silver stuff.
You don't see it around though.
No, so there's a bike shop in down in southern England called Woods Cyclery, and they are like super cool, proper like gravel scene place. They do wicked builds. They do a lot of stuff. Modern bikes with silver finishing, but they're always having to compromise on, but just looking at their pictures, it looks like they're always having to compromise mostly on group set or at least rear mech. Everything else you can technically still do silver botching it, but it's always a bike that looks a bit like old school. I can't imagine, I don't think I've ever seen a really modern bike with a modern finishing kit and a modern group set and it all be silver.
I have. It was one of the Shimano GRX, because even the component, they do like,
one,
yeah, limited
it?
Edition. I think you can buy it, but they specifically made that group set, which is a silvery version of GRX for custom frame builders only, like indie frame builders to spec on their bikes. And then obviously it kind of got leaked and put on eBay and stuff, and you can actually get it now. But that
can
was
you
really
get
cool.
It?
Yeah, well, back when I looked, it was available. Someone was selling one.
So a few weeks ago, I was with Jack from Garmin, and he was like, right, I want to get the silver GRX group. Do you know anywhere I can get it?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't, sadly.
Nah, Shimano definitely won't give us, like, they're like, no. Frame builders only, frame builders only. Yeah. Wood Cyclery. Cyclery or cyclery? Even the owner doesn't know. I posed this question to him on camera. Nobody knows. They are the hosts of the single most enjoyable bike ride I've ever been on. And it would be right up your street. It's like a gravel ride they do from the shop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's weekly, but I went there with Jack from Garmin because they're nearby. Went to Wood Cyclery, started the ride. It's like the most lovely, chill pace. They stop and wait for everybody. Someone gets like a coffee thing out halfway through and you're in the woods and you just chill out and you just have a chat and it's just what bike riding should be.
That is
it's so good.
That is my bag.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
My vibe right there.
And then they're like, the guy knows the area so well, so it's all in the New Forest, and he'll get to the top of a section of single track and he'll give people the option, like, this is what's coming up. He just knows it. He knows it all. Mm. He's like, this is exactly what's going to happen. If you want to attack this bit, do it, and then wait at the bottom. And if you want to go on the other route, which is just a smooth gravel, do that. So there's just no pressure. And it just gets, it, like, they
That's
are
how you do
such advocates for cycling and getting new people on bikes, and it's just the best. So Wood Cycler, I can't remember the guy's name who owns the shop, but really nice guy.
Yeah.
Cool bikes as well.
Yeah, the bikes are unreal.
He's also, like, shit hot bike handler.
So black finishing kit, overrated or underrated?
Overrated. I'm saying overrated. I want to see more silver.
I'm willing to say overrated for the purpose of there being more silver.
Deal.
But I will still buy the black one.
The only problem is, I would like to see other colours as well, but the problem is, Bella, please. The problem is that the more options, the more stock, the more SKUs that have to be stocked, I would say the more expensive things become as well. And that's already a problem, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, just don't let the manufacturers do that. We'll just all refuse to buy it unless it's cheap enough.
Great plan.
Will that work?
We'll make a plan.
We'll start a petition. Next up is thermal bib shorts. So is this specifically shorts?
Yeah.
Not tights, shorts.
I feel like I can't comment. I've never worn a pair.
I don't get them. I think Jimmy likes them.
No, I don't. I don't like them.
Oh, do you not?
No, we did prototype them once when we're back in the Atticus days.
Yeah, I didn't get them.
My legs never get cold.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like a leg warmer or a knee warmer is nice just to take the chill off when it's a bit chilly. And if it's like cold enough that you need thermal body, you're going to wear tights because it's winter.
Yeah.
I think they are overrated. Well, are they actually even
rated?
No,
they're not highly
rated. Does
anyone
even care about them?
No. This on. Listen, we haven't had very many overrated, underrated suggestions lately, so I've been trying to pull them out of my sleeve while I've been doing this. And I was scrolling and I got an article that was a review on the best thermal bib shorts. And it just reminded me of when we made those prototypes, and I just don't really get them.
Yeah.
I agree with you. If you're wearing those, surely you're wearing warmers. I also hate warmers. That's because they cut the circulation off my big legs. But
you don't have big legs.
But I would rather just wear... I'm wearing shorts with warmers, or I'm wearing thermal tights.
Mm. Same.
It feels like a product for product's sake.
I'm going with overrated.
If you wear them and you rate them, you can email us and tell us why.
If you have any suggestions...
I've got one. Cliff bars for cycling.
Underrated.
Overrated.
They are the juiciest, most lovely things in the world.
Cliff bars for any time.
For cycling. No, I agree. But for cycling.
Yeah, for cycling.
Very tasty snack. But if you're cycling...
Yeah, just... Why?
Almost as bad as the worst of the worst ever cycling food in the world that for some reason people still buy. The Nature Valley crispy cereal bar thing. Have you ever... Okay, it's probably only English viewers that will know what this is. It's like a very dry, probably the driest object in the world inside a wrapper. And you eat it, and then you, like, all the moisture is sucked from your body, and then you die.
Yeah. Thanks for that analysis.
No problem.
Underrated.
Too chewy.
I have no intention of riding at a pace where a Cliff bar is going to be an issue for me to eat whilst I'm riding. Or I'm just going to stop and eat it on the side of the road, because why not? Enjoy the nature and the sun and stuff.
And get a little pot of coffee out and a little stove.
Exactly.
Do that stuff.
And if for some reason I do want performance, they do those little chewies.
Is that, they're made by the same people?
Yeah.
Mm. You used to do that.
They're the ones you can lick.
Stick them on.
Tube.
It's kind of gross, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
If you think about, and do you ever clean that top tube?
Yeah, with chemicals.
Antibacterial. Yeah. Clean it with muck off and then eat
them. And then eat them, yeah. I've got clean insides.
Motorex.
Anything else you want to bring to the mix, Francis?
No, I've run out now.
What about Adidas Velo Sambas?
Explain more.
So it's a Adidas Samba, which is like a cool casual shoe, which has recently been worn by British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and made now the least cool shoe in history.
Oh, is that what that's been in the news for?
There is a Velo version of it where it's got a slightly firmer sole that's not firm enough to cycle in and too firm to walk in that you can put an SPD cleat in.
I think Adidas made a big mistake by calling them Velo Samba and assuming that non-cycling people would realise what Velo means. I've seen so many posts on Twitter and stuff where people have bought them, got them, you can get them customised with random words and stuff, got them customised and then they've turned up and they've got a cleat on the bottom. Oh, you have some there. This now feels like a weird sponsored section.
It's not a sponsored, but well, I was the...
It surely isn't sponsored because we're literally just saying they're a load of shit.
I was the face of End/Adidas's campaign when they were like, we need someone who rides a bike to be in this photo thing. And I have one right hand shoe.
Right hand shoe?
Right foot shoe. That makes sense. You would say
I have
right
one right hand shoe and one left foot shoe.
I haven't got the left one, just the right hand one.
No, there's a left one there. It's just a
no,
different
but
color.
That's a different one.
Yeah, but it's still the same size and the same type of shoe.
I don't
shoe.
Know if it is the same size.
It is.
It's a different...
You could wear our shoes.
Okay, well, if they're the same size, maybe I will. I don't even know if they're my size. Well, the ones they gave us these as like, oh, this is what the shoe's going to be. And then you just give them back later and then we kept them. So they just sat on the shelf.
But the thing is, you're not going to use them because, like I said, you can't. They're crap for walking in and crap for cycling in.
Yeah, but if you're standing still and want to look good, that's... Apparently it's inspired by Heineken.
That one, yeah. The other one was inspired by coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah.
It's pretty, well, it's just got brown on it.
And then the cyclist that they've embroidered onto the tongue of it is actually like, it's meant to be like a casual shoe, but it's like a time trialist, a triathlon time trialist.
Oh.
With an aero helmet on a road bike.
Just put flat pedals on you. Oh, do you know what's a great product for instead of these shoes? I used to have these. You can get flat pedals that clip into the SPD pedal of your bike. So you can convert your SPD pedals to flat pedals.
Oh, you clip the surface.
Like yes. A platform.
A platform.
It's a platform clippy into it. So you don't have to change your pedals all the time. And I used to do that a lot. And that is a much better solution, I think, than...
Jesus Christ.
This is chaos. Bella's intercepted the recording studio and has decided she wants to sit on everyone's knee. Right, let's wrap this show up, should we? This section up.
If you have a suggestion you'd like us to debate, send it to wildonespodcast@cademedia.co.uk and we might read yours out on the next show. Next up, we have Fluff Up of the Week.
Monday is usually work from home day. But I scheduled a meeting with can I say what it is?
Yeah.
The optometrist or opticians in Newcastle. The optical something company.
Northern something.
Really nice people. And they're going to help us with a video that we're doing. And then we got there and then they were like, didn't you get the message? And I was like, I did get the message. And I was like, but I didn't read it properly. And we came into Newcastle for no reason, which is not that far away, but it's fairly long. And then I had to cycle home, which isn't a bad thing. Lovely, up the hill, get some training in, awesome. And then I got halfway home and it started hailing and I was wearing shorts. If only I'd had thermal shorts, I would have had a great time.
Your testicles would have been warm, but your calf's cold. Just how you like it.
Right, listeners take over. First up, Doug emailed us about protective tape to prevent rubbing caused by frame bags. This was in a previous podcast. He says you can buy vinyl tape on Amazon that works nicely. Its primary use is for cars, but apparently it works.
Basically, he sent us a link to an Amazon product, but if you type in something like clear paint protection vinyl film, it's a vinyl film for cars, and he says it works well.
3M. Everything 3M make seems to be pretty good.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what they are.
It's like a tape company.
Is it?
Adhesives. Ah. But they make the thingies that you stick a GoPro to helmets and surfboards, and okay. It's like the stickiest thing in the world.
Next, Jack says, hey team, I've been a regular viewer for years and love the videos. The pivot to Cade Media seems to have worked a treat and the content's sharper than ever. Thank you very much. Like many people, I started cycling with a cheap old eBay road bike, but have since saved up and bought a Fairlite, which have been serving me impeccably well since last May. I've done a few multi-day bikepacking style trips on it, a few days around Kent, then around the Isle of Wight and back to London. Nice. I ride with a couple of mates and the dynamic between us is great, so we're looking at what's next. In terms of distance, our biggest day on the bike so far has been 120 kilometers with about 1,650 meters of climbing, but 100 kilometers with 1,000 meters of elevation is probably the sweet spot. My question for the pod is, where are your favorite cycling holiday destinations that you've always recommended when asked? We're keen on a European trip, currently looking at Girona. Great cycling is priority number one, but interested to hear your thoughts and stories. Shameless snap of us during our Isle of Wight trip is attached. Shout out to Milo and Yas if you're listening. Keep up the great work, Jack.
Never been to Girona, except on the outskirts on gravel, which was amazing. I think there's a bit more like commuting to your rides in Girona than there is in other locations, like Mallorca and Calpe.
Yeah.
Particularly good.
I asked Chris Hall Rides, who has been lots of places, and the first thing he said, firstly, not Girona. There's better and cheaper places to ride in Spain. It's nice, but just really expensive, in my opinion.
Expensive?
Yeah. Granada, Malaga way is nicer. You guys rode Malaga way, didn't you?
Yeah.
Calpe is great for riding, but not a lot else there, unless you fancy partying in Benidorm.
Yeah, Calpe, it's boring looking, but the riding is good.
You can walk up the giant rock.
A chunk of that, or the stuff that we rode there, like at no point do you go, this is absolutely stunning and beautiful, but you do go, that was such a clean ride.
Yeah.
Like it's just the quality, the standard of the riding is good.
You very rarely see a traffic light.
Yeah.
You do a whole ride with no traffic light. It's super chill, especially if you choose the right time of year. A place like that hasn't got loads of tourists in during the winter. So like February, March time, the weather can be 20 degrees and you have a just an amazing time.
When you hit Europe, does the elevation profile go up massively? Like if you're saying, you know, 100 kilometers with 1,000 meters of climbing, is that achievable in Spain?
Yeah, totally.
It goes quicker as well.
Right.
For some reason, I mean, it's a psychological thing. The riding, you can definitely tick off more hours in Spain with the less effort. It's just flowy and smooth and something about it.
We have some Chris Hall recommendations. He said in the UK, North Coast of Scotland, you've got the North Coast of 500, which if the weather is on your side is a fantastic week trip to do.
Which it never is.
Which never is what? The weather's not on your side. Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Llanlas Cymru, which is across Wales for mixture surface route. I don't know whether they want road or gravel. Chris said he did this in a weekend and it was one of the best rides he's done in the UK. Also, they should have a go at London to Paris or coast to coast in one day for a challenge. Good recommendations. A surprise contender on the list, Turkey. I recently went there on a family holiday and the cycling was so much better than expected. The gravel is unbelievable.
I think that anyone which regularly does cycling holidays should do Tenerife at some point.
I would not recommend that to anyone.
It is so epic.
Right, so Tenerife has a giant mountain on it with a couple of different ways to go to the top. Volcano.
It is literally
a volcano. Is there anything else there to ride other than that?
Yes, you can ride around the island. You can ride the volcano something like 4 or 5 different ways. You can go flat along the coast.
You can go flat along the coast. Of course, it's really windy.
There's a whole separate mountain range on the northwest as well. It is so unbelievably epic there. Everyone should experience it because you get to the top. The climb up goes through like different worlds and then you get to the top and you're on the moon. You're on Mars when you get to it's just mind-blowing. It isn't the best riding in the world.
I would say for your first trip to Europe, definitely don't do it. It's the longest climb in Europe. If you like just climbing up, then yeah, it's fun and there's nothing else to do there.
It's a riding holiday.
Oh, I think it's rubbish.
I think there's a lot to be said for other stuff being available.
Yeah.
It is. It's set up for party town.
It's such a tiny island and it's the main roads around the island are motorways and then you've got the coastal roads which are windy as hell. I think that's a rubbish recommendation.
I don't. I think it's so breathtakingly like beautiful and just out of this world that it's definitely worth doing. And it's the longest climb in Europe.
I tell you where I would recommend, where we have ridden, Dordogne in France. That was class. There's a lot of flat. There's some good little hills, but it's not mountainous. If you're a vegetarian, it's not great. But if you eat meat, fine. If you like pastries, great. If you like wine, great. It's great climate.
Now, another French recommendation around Mont Ventoux.
Yes.
There's some good stuff there.
Chris already also
did he say that? Yeah. There's some a few different where you don't have to ride Ventoux. Yeah. However, there is that like Club de Singles.
Yes.
So you ride it 3 ways up.
Didn't you do that
before?
With Chris?
Yeah, I think it's 3. I've done that twice before, I think. I've been there a couple of times, but there is other rides. There is, if you want to do the good rides, there is climbing, but they're not all 2000 meters of elevation. Yeah. There's ones that are a little bit less and have beautiful views and really smooth roads. And it wasn't busy when I was there a few years back. So
actually we can recommend in the Dordogne, we stayed at a place called Les Stables. And it is a triathlon camp. However, they've started opening up to just anyone and they are cyclists. Mark used to work for the milk race, didn't he?
He was the director sportif for the milk race.
They have a wealth of cycling knowledge and they have loads of routes. So if you want to be somewhere where someone will just tell you where to go, that's a good one. It's very rural France, so there's not loads around, but you can get good food and it's good riding.
Yeah, I love it there. So good.
It's a good holiday.
And then when you finish your ride, you can jump in the river with a beer.
Yeah, or they've got a swimming pool as well.
That isn't an advert, by the way.
No, they're just great. We used to go on our holidays there. We spent a lot of money with them going on our holidays there. They're good people. I'm sure they would love to have some cyclists. Mark and Sib, shout out to them. They're great.
Next up, Alistair says, "Hi guys, love the podcast. Listen every week. Great for the cycling commute. Something has been itching at the back of my mind since seeing an article about a bike light which creates a laser lane. Further research suggested that Lazine do one, as do Halfords. The issue with both is that the lane is cast only 50 centimetres on either side of the rider, which reviewers pointed out may suggest to car drivers that this is a safe distance to pass. It's also non-adjustable. It strikes me there's a gap in the market for a laser lane that properly casts a 1.5 metre gap to the right of a cyclist, even better if it had a little arrow with 1.5 metres written underneath it. It seems the technology is here, but nobody has made one yet. How bright are these things? Bright enough to, like,
I don't know,
be visible by a driver.
My question would be,
it's like the Boris bike thing.
Yes, that it is
projects,
like that.
All the Santander bikes in London have that green thing.
It's exactly like that. My question would be, just because you know what it is, would a driver know what it was? I don't know. I think it's almost one of those things where you know it's there, and then you start going, have you not seen the line? And someone's like, what's the line? What's that for? You know what I mean? I feel like if it existed, there would need to be some sort of education thing.
Probably. Is there anything wrong with just a very bright red flashing light?
What, on the road or just...
No, just a normal bike light. It's not drivers about, know what that is.
It isn't about visibility.
No, it's about showing people what 1.5 metres looks like.
Well, that's an education. I mean,
I think if people are driving with due care and attention and they give a shit about cyclists, they're giving you enough space anyway. And I think the people that this is directed to are going to ignore it.
But if you are recording it, it's much easier to submit it to the police.
That's true, yeah. If you actually have the line and you can show that they've crossed it.
Because I tallied it up. In 3 bike rides, I was close past 7 times.
Mm.
Close past counts as less than 1.5 metres.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's like hundreds of times a week for me. And you just accept it. Mm. It's bad, but it's an education thing. I don't think a laser line, especially you can't see it during the day.
But that same principle is don't bother submitting your video footage because people won't do anything about it.
An update from you next podcast or whenever Durham police get back and say...
Well, they've already told me they're prosecuting.
No, but that one was a very fast driver. What about the people that overtook you that day close, but not fast? And I bet they treat it differently.
I don't think they will.
Okay. I hope they don't.
Yeah, no, I think it's a nice idea. I think also when you're driving a car, you're not looking, you shouldn't be looking down on the ground directly in front of you. You should be looking above.
The actual problem with it as a product, and probably the reason that no one does it, is it will only be accurate. You know, like, depending on how high it is, depending on whether the bike is directly straight, impacts the line. So if I'm out the saddle, that line changes. It gets closer and further away as the bike shifts left and right. It needs some kind of like counterweight thing in it that always keeps it the right distance. It's never going to be an accurate product.
A gimbal. Well, just a £300 gimbal.
It needs that kind of thing. Yeah,
just mount it
to
that.
It's sad, isn't it, that we have to be having these discussions about, you know, put a line on the ground so that people don't potentially knock you off your bike. Mm. It's just, you'd be better off putting a bloody flag out or something like that. Like
people do have that little pass thing, that plastic thing that sticks out.
Does it stick out 1.5 metres?
I don't think so. Can you imagine?
That'd be so good. Is that legal? Can we do that? Maybe we should do that in a video as well.
It's legal to like carry stuff on your bike, isn't it?
So I'll wear my rainbow jersey and I have a big barrier on the back of the bike, which is 1.5 metres out.
Isn't it funny how much I've been riding your cargo bike around recently, which I'm borrowing. It's an electric cargo bike with a big tray thing on the front and it's very big. And the amount of space you then get from drivers night and day. Because it's weird, so they probably just notice you more and think like, oh, what's that?
But also, do you typically wear normal casual clothes?
Normal clothes.
Because we have discussed that previously, how wearing normal clothes makes you more human to drivers, and therefore they perhaps give you more space because you are more human.
Yep.
Mm.
It's another advert for Spain, isn't it? For your holiday. Because the drivers are just so nice.
And on that somber note, keep sending us your questions and stories and fun stuff to wildonespodcast@cademedia.co.uk. Sorry if we haven't read yours out yet. We get a lot now and we do love reading them, so please keep sending them in. Before we go, if you've liked this episode, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review, like and comment if you're watching on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. Thank you and goodbye.
Wait, Jimmy, before you go, this is Emily from the future. I have the answer from Lantern Rouge. We asked him whether it was true that he was banned from bookies, and he said, haha, this is partially true. I was limited at a few bookies back in the day. Nowadays, though, he actually can't bet on races at all, and that's because he works with Team Visma-Lisa Bike. So there you have it. It was true. See you next week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.